G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Line season 2016. We're previewing round 10 after what was a so-so weekend, I suppose. The Pies won both of our weeks.
I have one bet and it was well and truly done before quarter time. What a bludger of a weekend that was.
Yeah, well, mate, you've got to find a bit more.
I do have to find a bit more. I have found a couple more this week. I've been tinkering at the margins, as you do when you're in a bit of a losing trot.
My phone's been running hot. I've had a grand total of 3 phone calls this week, all pleading for you to lift, my friend. So time to bounce back, brother.
What 2 of them were from me. Alrighty. We kick things off on Friday night at the SCG with the Swans hosting North Melbourne. Swans laying about 3.5 goals. Total points line, high 170s.
Oh, look. It's a no-brainer for me. North Melbourne at the plus, undefeated. They're that way for a reason. They're winning strong, contested ball inside. That's Sydney's motto. I reckon they can break even in that department. And for all the reasons that we've liked North Melbourne over the last 6 weeks, their strong forward set up, 3 key tools on a small ground. The tools become even taller.
What do the Sydney back six do? They buy 3 matchups.
And that's it. I mean, you know, Nick Smith goes to Lindsay Thomas, and then where do you find your other 2 key defenders? Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to have a scenario where Rampy is playing either on the resting ruck or he's playing on Jared Waite. Yeah. And I just don't see how this happens. I think they've got this ass about. I understand it's Sydney's home game and they're playing good football, but I'm pretty tempted to take North Melbourne head-to-head at the $3.10, to be honest, and just jump straight into it. But I'm more than happy to take those points.
Yeah, I'm the same. I love taking good sides with good starts. Even on the road, I mark this Sydney goal and a half favourite. The last 4 games head-to-head have been split 2-2. North went up to Sydney and won a final last year. Little bit of a trend here towards the under, particularly North on the road and in night games. Recent head-to-heads have gone a bit that way, but I'd feel much more comfortable about the under at ANZ.
Yeah.
Shitbox stadium, that is. But at the SCG, I feel like this is near enough right, but you're getting a goal and a half to 2 goals too many on North at the plus, and I think they're a play here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saturday afternoon, we're at the Gabba for Brisbane and Hawthorn. Lions getting about 7.5 goals, total points line near enough 200.
Yeah, it was surprising that the line got out to the total got out to 200. To be honest, it's Hawthorn obviously struggling to score, and
Brisbane can't stop anyone. That's the problem.
Brisbane have been scoring all right. Look, I expect Hawthorn to rebound and win this game pretty comfortably, but 7 goals on the road. We all know Brisbane's a better team at home. They can expect to probably have Rockliffe back in the middle this week, which will give them some starch. And we saw them serve it up to Sydney a couple of weeks ago. If they bring that sort of effort and intensity around the contested football, which is an area Hawthorn have lacked all year, then they could curtail the scoring to a degree. I just think Hawthorn will probably just play that possession game and kick it around and, you know, win by their couple of goals a quarter and there or thereabouts. So enough doubt for me. Like, it's a no-brainer for your tips, Hawthorn to do it easy, but I'd stick well away from having a punt on this one.
Yeah, I mark both the line and the total pretty much spot on here. Hawthorn won the last 5 head-to-head by an average of 57 points. None of those at the Gabba, though. Average total low 200s in those 5 games. This is near enough, right? And there'll be too much junk time late in the game.
Yeah.
No interest in playing for mine.
Beautiful.
Second of the Saturday afternoon games, and we're at Alice Springs for Melbourne and Port Adelaide.
My old stomping ground. I've played football on this ground. Shit, nearly 30 years ago now, but it was... Oh, goodness, mate. Yeah.
D's laying a bit under a goal, around half a goal. Total points line, low 190s.
I love the D's at the minus. I don't care where it's being played between these 2 teams. Melbourne's forward structure and their scoring mechanisms have been really solid this year. Port Adelaide, the last thing they could afford to do was lose another tall defender, and now they've lost Jonas for 6 weeks after his king hit on... we'll call it a king hit.
It was pretty bloody close. It was a raised elbow with hands nowhere near it. No attempt to spoil.
That was... it was pretty dirty. Probably deserved his 6 weeks. We'll talk about that another day, but... the last thing they could afford to do was lose another key defender. I think where Melbourne win this game is in the midfield. They've got Port Adelaide have got good, solid inside midfielders in Boak and Wines and those sorts of guys, but what they haven't got at the moment is a ruckman. And Max Gawn at the moment is possibly the most dominant ruckman in the competition. His hitouts to advantage led the league by a factor of 10, just about. He's in rarefied air at the moment. And when you've got your Vineys and these sorts of types, Vince and these sorts of guys, in and Nathan Jones, inside mids, they can win the football and get it out there to the strong forward options. I think Melbourne could win this by 15 goals. Like that's the sort of setup we've got here. So inside a goal, I think this is a ridiculous line, and I'm happy to jump straight into it.
Cool. I got close. The only way I would go here if I was going to bet is Melbourne minus. I've just got a little bit of nervousness both about Melbourne in games they should win. It's not quite resolved in my head yet. Certainly the St Kilda game still sticks firm.
The Essendon game.
Yeah.
Stuck the pages together for you.
And Port Adelaide won the last couple head-to-head pretty comfortably. Admittedly, Port not as good now. Melbourne better now.
Yep.
It's just enough there to steer me out of one here. Slightly in Melbourne minus and possibly slightly in the over, assuming a good a fine day up in the Northern Territory.
It's winter, so it should be fine. There shouldn't be any rain around. It'll be hot as buggery, but
you wouldn't have a 190s line if they were forecasting rain.
If you could ring a bell, mate, that'd be my bet of the week. Melbourne at the minus, get around it.
We're Satellite Twilight. We're at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for St Kilda and Frio. St Kilda laying about 3.5 goals. Total points line, low 180s.
Yeah, I like St Kilda at the minus in this game. It's if you had a chat about this one maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago.
Waiting. Is Ross Lyon going to tank? Are Frio going to be 9 blight on? And just not bother bringing a side over against his old team?
I honestly don't think it even matters what he brings, to be honest.
No, it doesn't.
The best team they can put at the park at the moment is maybe comparable with what St Kilda have got. St Kilda have actually, they're the only team in the comp this round that can choose from their full 42 players. Yeah. They don't have a single bloke that's unavailable via their injury at the moment. And the style of football that St Kilda play, that hard-running, high-pressure game, is what has been bringing Fremantle undone.
Yeah, Fremantle can't score.
They've been pulling them, but they've been getting pulled apart by hard-running, hard-pressure teams.
Yep.
And that is exactly what St Kilda is.
Yep.
Again, I think St Kilda, this is another one that could have had an extra zero behind it, and I still would have just about jumped into it.
I marked 6 goals, St Kilda.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think they'll get it done very, very comfortably. Yeah. Frio, the only top 4 team in the history of league football from season to season to go top 4 to 0-10.
Yeah.
It's never happened before in the history of league football.
Yep. Yeah, they're bloody awful, Frio. Barely gave a yelp against Richmond at home. St Kilda are a better side than Richmond. It's in Melbourne, which is worth probably 2 goals head start straight up.
Yeah.
I thought this was at least 2 or 3 goals light. Also like the under. Frio can't score. First few weeks of the year, they were really struggling to defend. They seem to have shored up that part of their game somewhat. But their skill level is really ordinary. And I could just see St Kilda clamping them down.
Yeah,
I thought this line should be near enough 170. 6 of the last 7 between these teams have gone under 180. St Kilda, strong to the under as favourites, strong to the under as at the Docklands. Frio, strong to the under as underdogs. I think there's a few ways you want to go here, and St Kilda in the under for mine.
It all sounds good, but I've got 3 bets on at the minute, and you're back betting me on 2 of them. Don't be dragging me into your bullshit and getting stuff wrong, mate.
I'm riding coattails.
You are dragging me down.
Plagiarism is okay, folks.
Sorry, that was just a little bit of an off-camera sort of setup we had between us there. Everything we've said is gospel. Get on board.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to copy you, but everyone who listens should copy us. Yeah, that definitely works as a philosophy.
Roll it on.
Saturday night, we're at the MCD for Dreamtime at the G, Essendon and Richmond. The Bombers getting about 7 goals. Total points line, low to mid 170s.
I'm glad it's Dreamtime at the G because I tell you what, fuck me, if 20,000 people rock up, they'll sleep through most of it. This could be the worst game of the year. I'll take that back. They'll compete hard.
Carlton and Freo is the bar at the moment for the worst game of the year. Look, this is a chance. This is a genuine chance. Hard.
I just don't see how this becomes a shootout. No. I don't see how it becomes high scoring. I don't see how it becomes a real legitimate football contest.
Yep.
Essendon, as you say, Essendon have a score in you, and from what I've seen, Richmond really don't either.
Nah.
But
Richmond Freo last week was a fair indication of where this game might go.
But both teams understand that, and they will go into the game knowing that it's going to be a grind, and that's what it's got to be.
And they'll both feel it's winnable.
I don't want to have anything to do with it, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm going to play the under here. Was certainly keener earlier in the week when you can get high 170s, but even low 170s, I still feel like that's light of the mark. Essendon strong to the under this season already. Again, they haven't got a score in them. Strong to the under at night as underdogs. Richmond pretty strong to the under the last year and a half as favourites. Albeit they've been in a couple of shootouts this year, but they've been against sides that can score. They got hosed by West Coast, Adelaide, Melbourne, all of whom have a bit of attacking flair.
Yeah.
You know, got into the 170s against Collingwood and Carlton, 128 against Freo. Essendon's attack is no more threatening than Freo's, and I could imagine a pretty similar scoreline to last week at Subiaco.
Mate, that's a good call. It's a good call. Getting around the big fella, he's due.
Second of the Saturday night games, and infinitely the more interesting of the two. Adelaide and GWS at the Adelaide Oval. Near enough a pick'em game. You can get 1.5 start for the Crows if you're shopping well. Total points line, near enough 200.
Look, I was pretty bullish first glance at G-Dub, head-to-head. They're displaying irresistible football at the moment. The way they run offensively, the way they run defensively, they're strong inside. They took on the Dogs on the weekend, who were hands down the best contested football team in the competition, and they smashed them in that department. Adelaide have that sort of win it off half back, suck everybody in, win it off half back, and then just play that real sort of slingshot style football where they try and run and gun. Look, they've got very mobile forwards and very versatile forwards. When you look at Jenkins and Betts and Lynch and these sorts of guys, and we spoke about them ad nauseum over the last few weeks, but if you actually take some time and watch their football and watch the highlights of how they score their goals, I would be shocked if 7 out of 10 of their goals aren't kicked over the back, running into an open goal square. Well, they lead the league in goals from inside 15 metres by the length of the Flemington Strait.
It's the old Pagan's Paddock, isn't it?
I don't see that happening against G-Dub. I just don't see how they can actually win enough ball in the midfield to create those turnovers. And I really, really like the way GW are playing their footy at the moment. I think they've got great momentum. And I don't think venue or crowd or anything like that really gets into their psyche. Mm. They're a young group. Mm. They're a confident group. They've got great leadership. They've got Callan Ward as their captain and their lead inside midfielder, who is just about the toughest prick in the game at the moment. Some of the things he's doing, where he's just inspiring his teammates, it's brilliant. From a bloke with shoulder length hair, you'd never thought it possible, but he just
says,
follow. But he's a different era of footballer. It's a bit different these days, but he just says, follow me, boys, and they do. And I tell you what, whatever price you can get G-Dub for the flag this year, it's worth $5. I can guarantee you that. And they will beat Adelaide, and that's why I'm jumping on them this week.
Yeah, I couldn't bet this one, basically because of the home field advantage. If you kind of swap home field advantage on the line that's here, the Crows would be getting 3.5 to 4 goals in Sydney, and I'd be tempted to take the plus in that situation. Agree with you though, GW are going better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually got pretty close to betting the over here, even though it's such a high line in a night game.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way Adelaide stay competitive. They can't win an 80 to 75 shootout. That's not the way they get it done. They're going to have to take risks, find blokes over the back. Betts and Jenkins are probably going to have to get 7 or 8 between them, which they might. You know, the Crows get on runs in these things. But it is a high line, and there's just enough there for there to, for me to stay out. And GWS's defence, good enough. We move to Sunday now, and we're back at the Docklands for Carlton and Geelong. Blues getting about 6.5 to 7 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
Yeah, look, Geelong disappointed last week, I suppose, coming out.
They were ambushed.
They were ambushed.
And they still nearly won it. They were right there early in the fourth quarter.
I think they'll be embarrassed by that performance, and I reckon they'll want to come out and really put a number on this week. And the more I think about it, the more, even though it's, you're looking around that 40-point mark, geez, I tell you what.
The only bet I could have here is the minus. I'm not going to, but the only bet I could have here is the minus.
You know what? I'm going to jump into it. I think their pride will be shattered after last week, and they'll come out and they'll want to rip in. Particularly Dangerfield and Selwood, who both had down games. I think they'll get on top in the midfield. Carlton without, again, still missing Cruiser, still missing Casbolt. Geelong's defence is such that they zone very well. They're all really competitive in the air. I just don't see how Carlton score many points.
No.
At all in this game.
Well, Carlton kicked, what, 7 or 8 goals against Sydney, got beaten by 80.
Yeah.
And they kicked, what, 6-10 or something against North and got beaten by 60-odd.
Yeah.
You put Geelong in that similar sort of realm.
I see it very similar. I think Geelong, look, the more I think about this, the more I think this could get really ugly. I applaud Carlton and the way they've gone about it, and I really like what Brendan Bolton's done there, and I like the way they're playing their football, but they are out.
They're still a limited team.
If you put the sides side by side, and you were to say, all right, who from Carlton's team would get into the Geelong side this week?
Yeah. Which Carlton players could bump someone?
You could maybe find 5.
Yep.
And for me, that says a spanking.
Yeah.
And this could get ugly. This could be 80 or 90 points, maybe maybe even triple figures. I think Geelong are out to right that wrong from last week and to really send a message to everyone that they are the real deal. And I think Carlton, unfortunately, will be the little drive-by on the way to that.
Mm. Yeah, I got pretty close here. I'm not going to lay the points, but I think, bless them, Carlton, the one time I backed them, they covered.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The one cover I've had for the year, pretty much.
Absolutely.
But they're a long way off the best side still. They're far more honest than most of the bottom six sides, but they are bottom six on quality. And
that speaks to the improvement within that group, or the
they're getting the most out of what they can get at the moment.
Exactly right.
If you're a Carlton fan, you can't ask for any more. You've got 4 wins.
Mate, they'd have to be absolutely stoked with what they've produced.
And they've got some winnable games on the way home too. Yeah, they could finish with 7 or 8 wins and you think, gee, that's a good year.
That's a great year. That's a great year from what their starting point was.
So nearly Geelong minus for me, but not quite.
Mate, they'll smash it. They will smash it. If they don't, Geelong can't win the grand final. Yeah.
They need a statement game, don't they?
I think so.
Second of the Sunday afternoon games are at the MCG for Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. Pies getting about 2.5 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one. I've not had great luck judging the Dogs this year, to be honest. I either over or underestimate them at every bloody turn, but got it right last week. I didn't think they had the soup to go with GWS, and that was proven right. Obviously, Collingwood pulled one over everyone's eyes last week and spanked Geelong. No one saw that coming. I don't think Eddie McGuire would have tipped bloody Collingwood last week, but they got the job done. The bet that did appeal to me this week was the under. MCG. Both teams have got a really strong focus on defensive structures and stopping the other side scoring. We see that with the Bulldogs, that they're still the number one defensive team in the competition. Over the last couple of weeks, Collingwood have actually been the number one defensive team in the competition. So
really only last week counts, though. Brisbane the week before.
Correct.
It's contextualised.
Correct. Understood. But it's still all about structure, right? So the structure that you play determines the avenues that your opposition has to score.
Yep.
And if you can execute those structures, brilliant. You're going to minimise the opposition score.
Yep.
If you can't, then you get that floodgate sort of set up where it's just pile on, pile on, pile on. Mm. And Collingwood seem to have got that right.
Mm.
And whether they can go 1 week into 2 weeks, now into 3 weeks,
yep.
that's going to be the big question. Mm. Against a side like the Dogs that win good, solid, inside contested footy and can move the ball with purpose and got good skills. So my lean is towards the under. I'm not going to take it purely because I think the Dogs are a class above and they could really get away. So I'm not going to bet this game. But that's certainly my inclination, is that this could be a low-scoring bit of a dogfight and that sort of rebound 50 to rebound 50 type setup where it's defence to defence to defence all day long. And not high-scoring, but still entertaining football. Mm. But, the Dogs' capacity to really get away is probably the one thing that keeps me out of this one.
Well, the Dogs' capacity to really get away is why I'm stepping into the minus here.
get around him, the big fella.
Imagine this line last week.
Yeah.
Before the Collingwood game and before the Dogs got in. I really like...
I would have put your... Good sides off of us.
We could have had 2 houses.
Exactly right.
I like good sides coming off a loss. Feels like an overreaction to the Collingwood game. Dogs, at the moment, they seem just a rung off the absolute best sides. Beaten by North, beaten by GWS on the road. I'm unconvinced that Collingwood, even though they're on the way back up now, I'm still unconvinced they're going any better than Melbourne.
Yeah,
and the
absolutely.
Dogs hosed Melbourne.
Yeah, good call.
I think they're in about that range. And I don't see where Collingwood get a big score against the suffocating and Dogs sort of midfield and defence, who would be stinging from last week.
Categorically. Cloak probably won't play again this week. Yeah. I think that's pretty well documented. Mason Cox, he's a big unit, but he is what he is. He's still new to the game. If he can clunk a couple, because the Dogs don't have a very tall back line, I think their team defence will sort of isolate him a little bit, and they'll make sure that they're cutting him off. I agree with what you're saying, but happy for you to have a bet and watch you lose your money again.
we'll get around it.
We
finish things off with the Sunday twilight game, but it's a 2:40 start in the West. We're at Subiaco for the Eagles and Suns. Eagles laying 12.5 goals, 13 goals, there or thereabouts. Total points line, about 200.
Picked the Eagles like a dirty nose last week, didn't I? They just—they looked like they were going to get away with it, and then turned out to be the perfect four at the end of the day. Back on the home deck, this has all the makings of a 100-point drubbing, just the way they like to get it done.
I marked this game 140-60 West Coast. So when it opened 81.5 and then 200.5, and well, what's the bloody point of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Gold Coast, obviously, they've got injury woes and whatever else.
And they're a basket case.
Ablett will likely come back this week, so that gives them a bit more capacity. Nowhere near the capacity they're going to need to get anywhere near a win. But shit, when you're talking 12 goals plus as a line, you're sort of taking your life into your own hands. It's very, very easy just to let it go and pick up the shrapnel on Monday.
Absolutely. The Eagles have covered 15 of their last 16 as home favourites of 5 goals or more, but gee, there's a lot of bludger time at the end of a game with 12.5 goals start. So absolutely no way I'd step into the plus. Unconvinced Gold Coast can kick a score on the road, so I don't want the minus or the... I don't want the over. There's nowhere to go here. This is a pretty easy lay down.
I think so.
So a total of 5 for me this week. North Melbourne at the minus, North at the plus, St Kilda at the minus, and the under in the same game. Under in the Essendon Richmond game, Dogs at the minus.
Yeah, well, I've got North at the plus as well. I've also got Melbourne at the minus, doubling up on St Kilda at the minus. Got the Giants head-to-head. I just think their form's irresistible. And Cats at the minus. Statement game. They will bury Collingwood this week.
Or Carlton, even.
Whoever it is. Not Collingwood. They lost them last week. Sorry. Oh, that was a voiceover from last week.
Yeah.
Just cribbing in there. We're having a few production issues here on the iPhone at the dining table. So if you've got any complaints, send them to my manager, Cliff Bingham.
There we are. Good luck and good punning, folks.
Cheers.